opening minds, changing the possibilities by changing perceptions.
Greetings everybody on Fashionability and welcome back to the channel. This is Emily Davison, one of your co-founders. And today I welcome you back to another episode of the series Changing Perceptions. The series that aims to change perceptions towards disability through interviews with people in the fashion and beauty industry who are changing perceptions towards disability. Today I'll be joined by blogger Tanya Dutton from the blog When Tanya Talks. Tanya has recently been shortlisted for an award by the Beauty Blogger Awards of 2016. Tanya's blogs are all about beauty, lifestyle and perceptions towards disability. And today we're going to be talking to her about her experiences. So Tanya, tell us a little bit about your blog and yourself.
I'm 30, I'm married and I have two cats. I was trained as an oboist at music college and I got a scholarship. And my blog is a beauty, fashion and lifestyle blog that also covers living positively with chronic illness and disability.
And how long have you been doing your blog for?
I started my blog 2 years ago, but I actually started it as two separate blogs. I had the beauty, fashion and lifestyle on one blog, and then I had the chronic illness side of things on another blog, and it just didn't feel like it was working. So I ended up merging the two together because I felt like the people who were coming to my, what I want to call a normal blog, were coming and that was great, but they didn't know everything about me and who I am and the experiences that have shaped me because of my disability and chronic illness. So I felt like they weren't the kind of audience who would go to my chronic illness blog, but they would be interested in reading posts to learn more about me if they were all in one place. I felt like I wasn't raising the awareness I was hoping to by having them separate. And I actually really like the format of them both together now.
So do you think for bloggers who want to talk about chronic illness, as well as kind of another thing, like whether it be fashion or beauty or any other kind of interest, do you think it's more positive to have them in one place as opposed to having them as two separate entities?
From my personal preference, I like that I can show a better representation of my life as someone with chronic illness and disability, and the things I enjoy, that it's not just about the chronic illness and disability. But I also understand that for some people, they don't really want to focus on other aspects other than their disability or chronic illness. So I can see the benefits of both. For me personally, I prefer to have it all in one. And I think it's helpful for people who have a disability or chronic illness to have it all in one place.
And so you've briefly mentioned talk about beauty and fashion and, you know, obviously chronic illness. So what kind of topics do you like to cover on your blog?
Mostly at the moment split between beauty and chronic illness and disability. Fashion, I've had a very up and down experience with my weight because of medication. So I'm currently working towards being in a place where I feel more comfortable in doing fashion posts. Most of mine are sort of accessory related at the moment. Lifestyle, because I've not really been able to get out of the house for most of this year, there haven't really been many lifestyle topics to talk about. So it's been mainly beauty reviews.
What do you feel you've gained from your blogging journey?
I've made a lot of friends, particularly people who also have chronic illnesses or are disabled. Growing up, that was something I didn't have. I didn't know anyone else who had a chronic illness, and that was quite isolating. But now I've got loads of friends who've got the same conditions as me or similar conditions as me, and we can talk about not only how our lives are affected, but also help each other out in terms of ways we'd get around things. Or at the moment, I'm going through the process of getting a wheelchair through wheelchair services, and the support I've had from my friends who have been in a similar situation has been overwhelming, and I wouldn't have had that if I hadn't started my blog.
What inspires you when you blog?
I think mostly the things that inspire me are the topics that I write about. So if I have an experience when I'm out, it might prompt me to write about it. I did a post on some of my wheelchair experiences, having been a wheelchair user for 3 weeks, because I was so shocked at the way people were reacting to me, some in a very positive way and some in a very negative way. So I think it's mostly experiences. So either if I'm out and about doing something or if I find a product I love, I think that's my biggest inspiration. But also my readers, I want to be able to give them things that they want to be able to read. I want to be able to give them something that, particularly with the chronic illness and disability posts, they'll be able to take something away from and hopefully either use that to improve their own lives or just to know that they're not alone.
So would you be able to share with us a little bit about the nature of your disability and some of the ways that it affects you?
I've got a few different conditions, so I'll tell you a little bit about each of them. I've got hypermobile loss syndrome, and that's a connective tissue disorder. I'm in widespread pain all of the time, but it also means my body is more prone to injury. So I can experience subluxations, which is a partial dislocation. Sometimes pain can be where I can't put weight on certain joints, and my joints give way very easily. So I use crutches inside the house and a wheelchair outside the house, but also sometimes inside the house. I also have postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, which is where my heart rate goes really, really high just by standing up. So it can get to the point where I'm not able to stand up for a few days. And when it's really bad, particularly in the heat, I'm sometimes not able to sit up for any length of time. Also, Zilla type migraine, which can cause loss of consciousness. I used to be more affected by this than I am now, but one of the biggest things affects me is lighting. So I do have to be extremely careful as to where I can go, what time of day I can go to places, because when it's darker, the non-natural lights are more of a problem for me. And I do have to be very careful with patterns and what I do and where I go.
So you've been shortlisted this year for a Beauty Blogger of the Year award. And what was your reaction to that?
First, I was really surprised. I hadn't anticipated it at all, and I was really excited.
So on your blog, I was reading it the other day, and I have to say I love your blog, and one of the things you talked about was embracing differences and the importance of embracing who you are. And so what are some of your personal top tips for learning to, I guess, not only embrace yourself, but in particular learn to embrace your disability and what it is and what it does?
Everyone's different, but I think for me it was learning to be comfortable with who I am. And to do that, I was looking at identifying the things that make me special and the positive aspects of my disability. It's different for everyone, and I suppose it depends how your disability affects you. But for me, learning to be comfortable with who I am was really key to accepting things and embracing who I am. To do that, I looked at identifying the things that make me special, and also the positive aspects of my disability, which sounds like a really odd thing to say because you are limited so much by your disability. But every situation has a positive, even if it's a really small one. So the thing that kind of triggered that post was I was being discriminated against at work because I wear precision tinted lenses for my migraine and my dyslexia. But one of the really positive things that had come out of me wearing my glasses was that two of the students I was teaching at the time also have dyslexia, and they use coloured overlays to help them read better. So by seeing me wearing my glasses, they felt they were able to relate to me much better than other members of staff, because they knew that I understood struggles they were experiencing from having experienced them myself. So it was actually a huge positive in that respect. And I'm actually hoping that if my conditions improve, I would really like to go into a learning support assistant position, because I feel like I would not only benefit students who have got specific learning difficulties because they would be able to relate to me, but I'd also have the benefit that I would be able to show their able-bodied peers that you can have a disability and you can still have a worthwhile life, and I think that would benefit them as well as students who are needing help.
So on your blog, you talk a lot about making beauty stores and making products more accessible for people with disabilities, and in particular you talk about things like making lists of beauty products that are hypoallergenic and the allergy ingredients that they include. So how do you feel personally that the beauty industry could make products and stores more accessible for people with disabilities?
I think that's a really difficult question, because everyone has different needs because of their disability, and it's really hard to be inclusive of everyone. However, there is a long way to go before stores are inclusive of the majority of disabled people. I think having ingredients lists for people who do have allergies would be a huge benefit. Certainly from my perspective, with problems I have with lighting, making lighting more neutral would be really beneficial. A lot of stores have brought in fluorescent lighting around their cosmetic counters. It just makes it impossible for me to shop any makeup with that kind of setup. For me, the biggest thing would probably be having staff that are understanding. The first day I got my wheelchair, I went into town and I tried to get into the door of a shop. And while it was an accessible door with a push button that opens, it didn't open fully. So I wasn't able to get in. And instead of the sales assistant coming and asking me if I needed any help, she stood at the door and told me that there was plenty of room because she pushes her mother in her mother's wheelchair into the shop. So she was putting her able-bodied perspective from her able-bodied experiences of helping someone in a wheelchair into the experiences of someone in a wheelchair, and they weren't accurate. She was forgetting that my hands were outside of the wheels. She was forgetting that I was at a different level. So what I can see is different to what she would have been able to see standing up. And I think just simple things like asking someone what you can do to help them, rather than assuming you know and then actually ending up doing something that is counterproductive. For me, that would be the biggest way of making shopping experiences more accessible.
As a beauty blogger, what are some of your top beauty tips?
The biggest one that my mum taught me was to always wear the minimum amount of base that you need for your face. So I very rarely wear foundation. I think I wear foundation mostly just for special occasions or if I'm filming a video. I will usually only wear powder on my face, and I think that's really helped to keep my skin clear rather than overdoing it with product. Don't be afraid to experiment either. If you want to try something, go for it, because if you don't try it, you might be missing out. Buying affordable products is an easy way to do it if you're not sure if you're actually going to get on with it, because then you're not using as much money. And do what makes you feel confident and happy.
What are some of your top blogging tips?
I think enjoy it is key. Sign up to social media platforms and use them. Get passing to people on Twitter. Comment on Instagram photos and post Instagram regularly. If you can get involved with some of the Facebook groups, there are some opportunities on there. And really just write about what you love. If you're writing about a topic that you're not confident that you fully understand, that's going to show. And then people aren't going to come back to your blog.
Where can people find you and your blog if they want to know more about what kind of things you do?
My blog is at whentanyatalks.com, and it's Tanya with an I, not a Y. And then I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest, and they're all When Tanya Talks.
So Tanya, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. Good luck with the Beauty Blogger Awards. We wish you luck with that. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this Fashionability podcast. For more information about what we offer, you can visit www.fashionabilitychannel.com. We podcast on iTunes and Google Play. You can find us on Facebook by searching Fashionability Channel. You can also find us on Twitter under @InclusiveStyle. If you want to contact us about any information on the show or you have any queries, you can email us at fashionabilitychannel@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.